We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Montana State Athletics Bobcat Insider Podcast. This is your home for all things Montana State Athletics.
Thanks for tuning in to the only podcast dedicated to all things Montana State University, from football to golf, cross country, men's and women's hoops. We've got you covered here. Whether you're listening online at msubobcats.com or subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, Spotify, or iHeartRadio, we're glad you found us. Jason Alvine alongside Zach Mackey is your host for this episode of the Bobcat Insider, is where we'll cover men's and women's basketball in the heart of Big Sky Conference play, each coming off a road-home split in which they both won their road games and each came up 1 point short inside the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. We'll also preview the lone game this weekend as each team is set to take on the Eastern Washington Eagles. The men will be back inside Worthington Arena against the team picked to finish atop the Big Sky Conference. And the women will head out on the road to Cheney to face the Eagles, a team struggling right now to really find their balance. But, Zach, you look back here to last week and the Idaho Thursday night game. Excuse me, it was Idaho for both of the teams, and the men were on the road. That game was back and forth. That game was kind of a gut check game for the Montana State men on the road.
It's funny, you know, Jason, we've talked at length about kind of how difficult it is to win on the road, and then both teams go out and win it on the road and drop one, a close one inside for both teams. But yeah, I mean, there's no question. Anyone who's been to a game at Idaho knows you got to bring your own energy there. It was a Thursday night game. There weren't very many people in the stands. You're inside the football dome, so it's a huge arena in there. And you could count on your hand, I mean, how many people were there. But yet, guys, you know, came out. Coach Sprinkles thought a little bit sluggish, a little bit slow, down by 10 in that first half. Battled back. They got it tied going into halftime. And then it was the second half where, again, Idaho came out with a big surge. They were able to get nine quick points, go up by nine, and then it was another fight back for Montana State. You know, I thought maybe for the first time this season we saw where a senior like Harold Frey can really just help you in big situations. It was a close game down the stretch, a one-point game here, a one-point game there. Leighton Ricketts, too, was a guy who just came through, didn't let the moment get too big, hit down some key shots to not only get them in the game, but get them the lead in that game. And you know, it just, it ended up coming down to who made more shots down in the end. And it was Montana State. Got to give a lot of credit. Idaho had Trevion Allen, who's one of the top talents in this league. 20 points for him, and he was 1 point away from getting 1,000 points. Bobcats kept him to just 20, and it was another, of course, big performance coming out of Harold Frey, 22 points. Jabril Bello with a double-double, but Borja Fernandez with a double-double. He, as a freshman, making his first start, so nice to see a little bit of that freshman class coming along.
Well, one thing, you talked about Harold Frey there and the senior leadership and their ability to bounce back by falling down in double figures a couple different times in that contest, and I think that shows the growth, the leadership of Harold Frey. But what I want to talk about is his ability at the free throw line. 9 for 9 in that game, every single one of them crucial, and he got fouled late in that game. They tried to apply pressure 94 feet from the basket, and I don't know whether Idaho was trying to foul when they were up one, but I was watching it. Yeah. I didn't understand that play. They fouled Harold while they were up, and so he goes to the line, gets a nice friendly bounce on the first one, knocks the second one down. But talk about his performance, 9 of 9 at the foul line.
Yeah, he's been so good there. I think we're all still wrapping our head around why they fouled there. And I don't think it was, I think Coach Claus would tell you they weren't supposed to. And it was just kind of a lapse in judgment by that Idaho team, because you want to make them make shots. Harold Frey was so good from the line. He's been so good this season. To give him free shots like that is basically almost giving the team 2 points. And not only has Harold Frey been great, you look at a guy like Jabril Bello, 7 for 8. How many big men in the country can hit as many free throws as he does? This Montana State team as a whole is number one of the Big Sky in free throw shooting. They've just been able to take advantage of those free shots, and I can think of 2 or 3 games where the difference was those shots and those free throws made.
And you mentioned earlier Borja Fernandez coming in, first start, goes in and grabs a double-double, 10 points, 10 rebounds. His development there, Jabril Bello, has been fantastic. Those two guys with a double-double on the road. It was a nice performance for the Montana State men. We'll get head coach Danny Sprinkle's thoughts on that victory next.
Point here with Coach Danny Sprinkle. And, Coach,
wow.
What a game,
wow.
Huh?
Man, we made that a fun one. I think I lost a couple. My hair is a lot grayer tonight. I know that.
Usually you can overcome one of those runs, but to have one in the first half and one in the second half, I mean.
Yeah, and it just it felt like we never got in a groove the whole game. It seemed like we never got – we call it a kill. When you get 3 stops in a row, we call it a kill. It seemed like we could never string together those 3 in a row. And then offensively, it felt like we'd score one possession, take 3 off, score. And it didn't feel like we got in a float on either side of the ball tonight. But, you know, credit to the guys. They just, you know, we kept telling them on the bench, like, fellas, we're going to find a way to win this game. We're going to find a way to win this game. I don't care how it happens. It's going to be ugly, but we're going to win this game. And the guys, they just believed. And, you know, Layden made some big shots late. And I really thought the last 10 minutes, Harold got more aggressive. And he kind of took the game over.
What about that first half when you were making the run down by 10? It seemed like Feed the Beast down inside. Borja Fernandez came out of nowhere. He just started scoring down on that post.
He did. And, in fact, he might be our best low post scorer, you know, skill-wise. You know, Jabril's a power guy, but Borja's got – he's a big body, you know. I mean, and he's heavy. He's, you know, he's got really good touch down there. And when he starts spinning and things like that, like, he usually gets a good shot up. And that's kind of my fault. I've done a bad job at not getting him, you know, a lot of post touches. And going forward, you know, it's something that we need to do.
What about first half? You had to have been pleased. Just 3 turnovers. Guys kept care of the basketball fairly well after those first couple of minutes got by. We're able to do a good job with that. But, again, it's another game where you look to free throws. Your guys shot 80% for the free throw line, and really this game won on that free throw line.
Oh, no question. No question. And before conference started, you know, I told the guys, I said, it's your team. You know, what are 3 things that you want every game? You know, 3 goals. And one of their goals was, you know, to win the free throw battle. You know, we want to try and shoot more than they attempt, but we for sure want to make more than they make. And tonight we did that, and they wanted to out-rebound the opponent. And I think that's 6 games in a row that we've out-rebounded the opponent. And obviously with DK out, it's impressive. And the other thing is turnovers. You know, they want to have less than 12 turnovers. Tonight we had 9. And, you know, if we can get some shots on goals, you know, we've shown, you know, we've had a pretty good, you know, success. And, I mean, I don't know how many wide open shots we missed tonight.
Yeah.
I think it seemed like about 40.
I know.
But once those things start falling, You know, I mean, it's really going to help us.
Yeah, 0 for 10 from 3 in the first half, but then turned around into 4 for 13 at the end of the second half.
My mom could shoot 0 for 10. She can make 4 for 10.
Coach, what about, you know, a game like this, you're in a close game, a minute and a half, 2 minutes left of the game. You've got a young team for the most part, but it seemed like it didn't faze them. On the road in the Big Sky, kept really calm and did a good job of just keeping that game calm. And maybe that's a lot of credit to Harold Frey, too, runs point and does a good job with that. But it seemed like it didn't let the moment get too big for the guys.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, he controlled it offensively. I thought we had some really good possessions late. He did a great job in one of our plays where he hit Jabril on a lob. And then, obviously, you know, you feel bad for Idaho, too, because, you know, their best player who played tremendous all game, you know, he kind of slipped up at the end and had a big foul and you know, allowed Harold to get to the free throw line. But, you know, that's – we've lost games like that, too.
Yeah.
But just, you know, proud of the guy's effort, you know. I mean, everybody, you know, Caleb Belich had a big layup in the first half, you know, for a freshman. And like you said, I mean, Borah had a double-double, you know, guys, they all stepped up. And to be honest, you know, Jabril's sick. You know, he's not feeling very good. And I could tell it at breakfast this morning when he walked in. And, you know, he fought through it. And, you know, he probably played 30-some minutes. And, you know, and he fought through every one of those minutes.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, enjoy this one. And we'll talk to you again on Saturday then.
You got it. Thank you.
Back here on the Bobcat Insider Podcast with Jason Alfie and I'm Zach Mackey. We can take a look at now what women's basketball, what's been up. And, Jason, you take a look back on last Thursday. Heartbreaker that time, a double overtime, a real thriller inside the Brick Breen Fieldhouse.
You know, it really was. Montana State played great defensively, gave up just 54 points in regulation. Had opportunity to win at the end, just didn't get the shot to go. Madison Jackson got a great look from the corner, had just knocked one down from three-point range there for the Bobcats and couldn't get it to fall. And then the extra frame, it was back and forth between those two. First double overtime game in women's basketball history there, so it was somewhat of a first for the two teams, but they really – Bobcats had their opportunities. It was a tough shooting night. You got to tip your cap to Idaho coming in here and having a game plan devised to slow this team down. They really held Fallon Frege and Darian White in check in that game. Those two combined to go 5 of 24 in that contest. Just a tough night for the two stalwarts for Montana State, both averaging double figures. Again, you tip your cap to John Newley. Beyonce B had a big game for that team, had 26 points, 8 rebounds, and no bigger three than the one late in the game to tie it up, to send it to overtime. And that's another true freshman there in that contest. But what you had to do, you had to regroup. You had to go back out on the road. And as we talked a little bit about earlier, you just have to suck it up. You're going to have to play Portland State, whether you won or lost on Thursday. And the Bobcats showed some resiliency by going out to Portland and getting a big win. But we sat down with head coach Tricia Binford after that tough loss there against Idaho and grabbed her thoughts. Back here in Bozeman, we're joined now by head coach Tricia Binford. And coach, the tough one here tonight, double overtime. It seemed like a heavyweight fight, two boxers going punch for punch, blow for blow. It seemed like every time you guys delivered the knockout with a Jackson 3, they answered right back, and just a tough one here tonight.
Goes out for your kids. It wasn't for a lack of effort, that's for sure. Some timely critical errors on our part. You know, I think the second opportunities really hurt us, getting them second opportunities at it. And, you know, the screen action got us a little bit of fits all night as far as not being there on air time. But, you know, I got to credit Idaho. They came in, played a great game today. We were a little bit cold in some situations. I don't want us second guessing or doubting our ability ourselves. We'll get our confidence back. We'll bounce back from this. A lot of season left to be had, and we'll get ready.
And you look at it, right when you seem like you were seizing momentum in the fourth quarter, Oli goes down, didn't return to the contest. Her and Madeline were really playing well at the start of that fourth quarter. A big loss for you there down the stretch, especially not having a senior that's been in these situations before on the court.
Well, and she was one of our guards that was hitting pretty well at that point, so she's definitely great in the two-man and the ball screen action, and we're just going to be hopeful that hopefully she can heal up really quickly. But that's when the next player has to step up and get the job done. You know, we take a lot of pride in our depth and our legs and our ability to do that. We had to go through two overtimes and didn't get the outcome that we wanted. But like I said, Idaho did a great job, really challenged us, and we had some mistakes that we're going to have to clean up and get rebooted for Saturday.
Quick turnaround Saturday against Portland State. Coach, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We continue on the Bobcat Insider as we take a look at the Saturday afternoon games for Montana State. Both men and women were against Portland State in those contests. And, Zach, again, it was another one in the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. The women dealt with it on Thursday night. The men dealt with it on Saturday night. Another one-point loss, 77-76 to the Vikings. And that game came down once again. Last 10 seconds, final possessions for both teams. Harold Frey hit a big shot to put Montana State up one, but then it was Holland Woods from Portland State answering the call for the Vikings.
Yeah, he's so good, too. 30 points for Holland Woods. I mean, he just had a tremendous game. And you can look to so many different things. Bobcats were down by 5 going into the halftime, and then had a better second half. But like you said, just a little bit behind, could not get that offense going early on in the game, fell behind by quite a bit really early on, and had to battle back into it. I think, you know, a lot of that game was kind of starting to feel, too, the loss of Devin Kirby. Jabril Bello fouled out of the game late in the game, and you're without Kirby, two guys that have kind of been stalwarts down inside, and unfortunately you didn't have their services at the end of the game. Amin Adamu comes away with another nice one, 20 points for him, but you know you're going to have that. They're going to make those shots. I know Coach Sprinkle, looking back then, wasn't too happy with the last shot that the Bobcats got. Really wasn't too happy with the way they played defense in those last 10 seconds. But, you know, there's so much that goes up to those final couple of possessions. And unfortunately for Montana State, they're in the game, but just fall by one.
Well, you talked about Amin Adamu's game there, 20 points for the transfer. He chips in 4 rebounds. And he's a guy that provides a little bit of a different look offensively. He was able to knock down some jump shots there on Saturday afternoon, maybe not necessarily seen as his forte, but he's someone that's continued to work to find that range from outside.
Yeah, he's real physical. When it goes down inside, he's quick twitch, too. I mean, he can make guys miss him early, and he's long, so he's able to get around his defender. I mean, he's got a lot of elements to his game. We're seeing him get more and more confident as this game goes along, and I talked with Coach Akachan on Tuesday and said, we're starting to see he's a guy that has the ability to be able to take over a game. I mean, any guy who can put up 20 points, he put up 26 a couple of games ago as well. I mean, he can put up big numbers, and he's getting more and more confident out there. He's working on his feet work. He was really raw coming in, had a couple of travel calls, but that's since kind of gone away as he's gained more confidence.
Harold Frey, again, plays 39 minutes in this game. I think it's 119 of 120 minutes in the last 3 games that Harry's been called on to handle the ball handling duties, and the bulk of that for Montana State, and especially against a team like Portland State, who throws nonstop pressure at you, 94 feet. You look at Harry's stat line, 39 minutes, 9 of 16 from the floor, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, just 1 turnover, coupled that in with 26 points. I mean, I don't know how much more there is that Harry can do in those contests.
No, you got to be conditioned, and you got to be conditioned to the max to play 39 minutes. And like you said, do it against a team that's in your face the whole time. I mean, he was face guarded the entire game. And a lot of teams struggle with that press, but I don't think Montana State was too worried about it when you've got a senior like Harold Frey who's able to break it so easily, doesn't get razzled. You know, he a couple of times had 2 guys in his face, able to still break that press, get it down the court, and he is a special, special talent.
A guy that came off the bench in that contest to provide a lift, and a guy that we've seen when he's on and when he's good, the Bobcats are really, really good, and that's Michael Paulo. When he's able to come in and knock down some shots, relieve some of that pressure off of Harold Frey and the ball handling duties, allow Harry to slide over. Michael Paulo, if he gets going, this could be a very dangerous team in the Big Sky Conference.
Yeah, he got 10 points in a hurry in that game. Hit a couple of clutch 3-pointers, too. You know, he, like you said, adds another ball element to this game that is able to handle the ball. But he's a shooter, too. And don't forget that. He came into the game and right away hit a 3-pointer to kind of spark the energy. Hit another one then a couple of minutes later. So he's a shooter. And he's a guy that's a really nice addition that's settling in nicely here to the Division I level.
And we've talked about it a lot between the newness on the roster for Montana State. This is still a team that has only played 15, 16 games together with 10 new guys playing Division I basketball for the first time, and they're sitting right now 3-3 in Big Sky Conference play, but with some big wins, some wins on the road, which is tough to do. Now they'll get a face in an Eastern Washington team coming in here on Saturday that'll be difficult, but we grabbed Danny Sprinkle's thoughts. You sat down with him after the game on Saturday to talk about that one-point loss.
Coach, tough one. Guys battled back, able to get the shot to go up, and they get one just to fall, unfortunately, there down inside of the paint. But walk us through that last minute or so. You called the timeout. I know you set up the defense, got the board out. What were you trying to do to that Portland State team as they came down the court?
We wanted to try and get it out of Holland Wood's hands, and we didn't, and he ended up getting it. And by the time he got it, you know, we probably should have ran somebody at him, you know, just to get the ball out of his hands. But, you know, the kid not only made a good play on that one, but he was terrific all night. I mean, he was the best player on the floor tonight. He was in a rhythm. I mean, creating for others, you know, I mean, it seemed like he didn't miss a shot. I mean, it was just it was crazy. But he that's what he does. You know, he's a good player and made a big-time play.
Felt like in the first half the team was a bit content to beat the press and then pull it out and didn't really do much in the transition game. Second half, obviously, that was an adjustment you guys made. We're going to attack. And it really fueled the offense, got things going for Adamu, got things going for Bello. It was a good thing there. What was the thought process?
It did, and that's all we talked about all day yesterday and all day today was breaking the press and going right into an action and not pulling the ball out and getting into something quick. And I don't know if – I mean, it almost seems like our guys were still on the 8-hour bus ride from Idaho, you know, the first 10 minutes of the game. We were sluggish and – you know, we were playing kind of tentative. And, you know, at halftime we made that point. You know, we have to be the aggressors. And they needed to leave everything on the floor, which I thought they did. You know, the second half, you know, I thought we played really good offensively. And, you know, I thought we played, you know, pretty good defensively. We just had some, you know, they got some timely offensive rebounds and obviously the timely shot at the end.
Well, and this team has been really good in close games, 4-1, one possession games all year. And so for Portland State to make a shot, I mean, you know, you can look at 50,000 little tiny things that could have changed the outcome. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just another game, and Eastern Washington's next.
No, exactly. And that's – I told our guys, I said, you know, I hope it hurts like heck until midnight. You know, it should. You know, if you're a competitor and, you know, it was a tough game and, you know, it should hurt till midnight. And then after midnight, you got to wash it off and, you know, got to get back at it tomorrow. Got to get a little better tomorrow and then on Monday get better. And like you said, we got a really good, talented Eastern Washington team coming in next Saturday. And, you know, and we got to come with the same energy we did in the second half, but we got to bring that for 40 minutes.
Amin Adamu has 20 points tonight. What do you think of his performance? Seemed like he was pretty good on that offensive end with those 20 points. Just your take on his performance tonight.
Yeah, he played great, you know. He did a really good job attacking, especially in the second half. You know, and he got going a little bit with his jump shot, too. And, you know, he's really been working on that. And, you know, I told him I'll give him a couple, and if he makes them, he can keep doing it. But, you know, he's really good when he's getting to the rim. And we actually called a play out of a timeout and got him the ball, and he drove and threw a little floater, and I think it was number 0, just made an unbelievable block. I mean, I saw the kids, it seemed like his shoulder was at the rim. I mean, he was about 2-3 feet above the rim, and he got it. And that was a big play for them, too.
Well, Coach, we will talk to you next Saturday then when Eastern Washington comes down.
You got it. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks so much, Coach.
Well, Jason, we talked about having that mentality to bounce back. Montana State needed to be able to do so last Saturday, and they did on the road.
They really did, and you look at that game, it was something. They jumped on Portland State early. 15-6 after the first quarter. They held the Vikings to just 2 of 16 in the quarter there to get that early lead. The Vikings, the league's best three-point shooting team as overall, 39.7% coming into the game, nearly 40% shooters. They end up shooting 3 of 22 from long range, and the third was about a 65-70 foot shot to end the game that pulled Portland State to within 11 in the contest. So it was kind of an inconsequential play in the grand scheme of things. The only thing it really did was, you know, I know there's a goal to keep teams under 60. It pushed Portland State above 60 there to give them the final 62 points that they had. But the defensive effort was really what set the tone for Montana State against that 2-3 zone of Portland State. And then you looked at the guard play for the Bobcats. They were sensational. sensational across the board. Tori Martell got the start for Oleana Squires. She hit some early threes, got the confidence going for her, and had 13 points. Martha Cooter continues to be sensational from the three-point line. She hasn't missed since the Northern Arizona game in conference play from the three-point line. That's 4 games ago. So she continues to shoot lights out. And then what can you say about Darian White? Bouncing back from a 1-for-14 performance on Thursday night to go 9 of 12, have a career-high 19 points. And when you look at her stat line, you know, it's not just the points that this kid brings to the table. She's doing it all. 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals in that contest, and hounded Kylie Jimenez into one of her worst nights so far this season, the point guard for Portland State. So the ability to bounce back on a short weekend where you fly into Portland, you don't get there till, you know, late Thursday evening. You practice Friday evening. You practice Friday morning before you leave. You've got to tip your cap to this group of seniors and this veteran team.
What about, we've talked about Portland State being a real good three-point shooting, and the Bobcats just had an on night, 7-for-13, 53.8% from the three-point line against Portland State. If you can continue to do that, you can win a lot of games.
You're absolutely right, and we talked about it. It was Tori Martell. She knocked down her first one, and then again, it just, Bobcats got into rhythm. They got good looks. You got to credit Fallon Frege, Madeline Smith, and Blair Braxton in the post as well, because they were trying to collapse the post. Portland State wasn't going to let Montana State get anything easy. Jordan Stotler, the league leader in blocks in the Big Sky Conference, had 5 blocks in the first quarter of that game. But Montana State, the post adjusted. They kicked it out. The Bobcats shooters were ready to knock them down. Madison Jackson hit one that I don't know if the ball even touched her hands. It was such a quick release on that. But you've got to tip your cap to again, Martha Cooter and Tori Martell being shot ready. And then, again, the post to make the adjustment that they weren't really finding a lot of success there early, kicking it out and allowing for Martell and Cooter to have that success.
Well, a nice bounce-back win for the women's team. Here's what Coach Tricia Benford had to say after the game.
Montana State gets the victory here in Portland. The Bobcats dominate as we're joined now by head coach Tricia Benford. And coach, a lot was asked about the tough loss on Idaho, how your team would respond here today. Short preparation to get ready. No Oleana Squires. I thought your team really answered the call and performed extremely well here today.
Well, when you talk about other players stepping up, Martha, Darian, Tori, Maddie, our guard play was phenomenal today. I thought the guard play was the difference. I thought our post play had the right game plan with the mentality of trying to really own the interior. Created some foul trouble for Portland State in the first half. Obviously, guards hitting some shots. I thought our defense from the get-go really got after them, and we made them work for those points. They started getting a lot more comfortable in that second half, and obviously, we'd like to hit our free throws a little bit better and give us a little bit more cushion, but when you're coming off of losing one of your best players for a game and you step up to the plate, I love the resilience of this group.
And you look at it, this is a team leading the Big Sky in three-point shooting. They go 3 of 22. One of those is a 70-foot heave at the end of the game that really inconsequential in the grand scheme of things. But you look at it, the holding them to 13%. You hold Desiree Hansen, who's 49% on the season, to 0-for-4. Belle Frazier just came off a game where she hits 5 against Eastern Washington. She's 0-for-7. You got to love the way your team guarded the 3-ball.
Well, you know, we had a very short turnaround to, we were joking, hey, we had an hour and a half to prepare for this game, and the kids were locked into the game plan. I think there's always a blessing in disguise, you know, when you have a little bit of a failure with a tough loss like that, it gets your attention, you know, like our effort has never been a question mark about who we are. But the focus point and the discipline to hit and get somebody every single time and to make sure we know our scouting report on key players, you know, that's where you take it up a notch. And I thought we did a great job of that today.
Coach, nice win. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Jason.
Jason Alvin and Zach Mackey, as we continue on the Bobcat Insider here, as we preview the solo game this week for both men's and women's Eastern Washington. I think you look at this, the Eastern Washington men, they were the preseason favorites in the Big Sky Conference. I think they're struggling a little bit to find their way here in conference play. The Eastern Washington women, on the other hand, just are struggling right now, and they're 2-11 overall. They've had 7 different starting lineups in 13 games here. So far, they've dealt with some injuries. They've dealt with some players missing some games. But, you know, you got to go in there and you've got to go in with the task at hand, and you got to come away and find a way to win this game on the road. It's a tough place to play. You got to travel once again. And you just got to go in with the mindset of we're going to go in and seal the deal and close down this team.
Yeah, this Eastern Washington team on the men's side sits 9-6 overall. They're 2-2 at the Big Sky, and they had a little bit of an off week last week where they had just a home Saturday game and they didn't perform. They lost big against Montana by 20+. This week now is going to be a little bit more of their travel heavy part of their schedule. They're at Idaho on Thursday. We'll keep our eyes on that one, and then turn around to come to the Brick Breen Fieldhouse then on Saturday for that game. But like you said, an Eastern Washington team that's picked on the men's side to win the conference coming in. They were tied for second, but that loss on Saturday, it shows you how close this is, moves them down to a tie for sixth with Montana State. So Montana State 3-3, while Eastern Washington sits 2-2. Taking a look at some of those guys who are going to be big performers. Jacob Davidson, fourth in the Big Sky right now. He's averaging 17 points a game. He's just able to score. And this team as a whole is able to score. Right now they sit third in all of Division I college basketball, scoring at an average rate of 84.4 points a game. I mean, they like to get up and down the court in a hurry. They like to put up points, but yet they'll do it by assists too. They're seventh in the country in assists, 17.7 per game. So they'll share the basketball. You don't have those one or two guys who are going to run away with it. But again, Davidson's a huge scoring threat. So is Kim Aiken, who's got a 15.9 point a game average right now. He is got his ninth double-double on the season. I mean, he's just been a huge scoring route, but yet also on the defensive side, he's fourth in all of Division One in defensive rebounds, 8.9 defensive rebounds per game. He's been really good down inside. So this team as a whole, you know, has struggled here recently, but when you look, they've got a lot of pieces to the puzzle.
Well, and then you add to it Montana State, who hangs their hat on defense. How are they going to try to adjust and slow down a team that's averaging 84 points per game? Because they've been really, really good on the defensive end under first year head coach Danny Sprinkle. But you come in with all this firepower. The good thing is the Bobcats get this Eastern Washington team at home. But what does Montana State have to do to really keep that defensive edge here coming into this Saturday game?
Well, I'm going to be interested to see how much they go in between the man and the zone. At times we've seen them going in out of that zone defense. For the most part, they're going to be in a man defensive front. But it's just all about guarding your man, and I think a lot of it is won down inside. They get a lot of second chance opportunities and a lot of rebounds that they win down inside. So guys like Jabril Bello, Borja Fernandez is going to have a big game. We don't know as of right now when we're recording this if Devin Kirby is going to be back or not. He's looking more and more healthier. That would be a huge asset to have him back in the game, but even if he is, he's not going to be full go yet as he was in the beginning of the season. So a lot of it's going to rely on what happens down inside of the paint.
When you look at that paint, we've talked about Jabril Bello a lot on this podcast, and he is a guy that is making noise. He's going to have his hands full. You talk about their scoring on the interior. Don't forget Mason Peatling as well, as he's a guy that averaged double figures as well, 15.2, 7.5 rebounds, and this is an Eastern Washington team. For good reason, was picked to win the Big Sky Conference here in the preseason poll, but that's why they play the games. Montana State has shown that they can knock off the top competition in the Big Sky Conference, so it's going to be a fun one here Saturday inside the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. That game will tip at 4 o'clock Mountain Time. Zach Mackey will be on the air 3:30 with the pregame show. You can listen to that all across the Bobcat Radio Network or on the TuneIn app, so make sure you tune in there 3:30 to the call by Zach Mackey.
And Jason, we hinted on that women's game a little bit on the road at Eastern Washington. Never easy to play on the road, but this is one you got to get an Eastern Washington team that has struggled.
You're absolutely right. You look at it right now, they're 11th in the Big Sky in conference in points per game, 55.5 during league play. They shoot 33% from the floor, so they're not lighting it up. Montana State has the best field goal percentage defense in all the league. They only give up teams shooting 33.5%. So all the numbers that you look at the paper and the stats, everything says Montana State should come away with a victory here against this Eastern Washington team. But head coach Wendy Schuler, in her 19th season there at Eastern Washington, she has her teams prepared. We saw a team last year come into the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse, scored 30-some-odd points in the fourth quarter to force overtime and come away with a victory over Montana State. So you can never count Eastern Washington out, especially with the way that Wendy Schuler is able to scheme and continue to help this team grow throughout the year. They're a team that finished sixth in the Big Sky Conference last year and ended up playing in the Big Sky Conference championship game, albeit different talent. Violet Capri-Morrow is gone. Amira Chandler as well. Alyssa Silby have all graduated and gone. Uriah Howard no longer there due to some injury with her. But a team that you cannot sleep on, because Grace Kircher is a talented sophomore, averaging 15 points a contest. She hits three of threes per game, so she shoots a great percentage from the three-point line. So it's another one of those games that Montana State's going to have to be ready defensively to be attack-minded to go out there to get the victory against Eastern Washington and the Eagles there in Spokane.
And that's going to be a game that starts up at 3 o'clock. Jason Aldean will start up on your radio at 2:45 with a pregame on the road to take on Eastern Washington.
The Bobcats will be in action all weekend long Saturday afternoon. Tune in for both men's and women's basketball. We appreciate you joining us here on the Bobcat Insider.
You've been listening to the Bobcat Insider. Be sure to stay up to date with all things Montana State Athletics by visiting msubobcats.com and by following the Cats on social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle MSUBobcats. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bobcats Sports Network.